Sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
Good morning and welcome to Friday. December 6th. It is Friday. I love Fridays, man. We already know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it's been a short week, actually, for us.
Yeah, and, really short week.
Yeah, because we had a vacation the beginning of the week. So we shouldn't be complaining, you know. But there comes the weekend, and I plan to enjoy it. Whatever I'm going to do.
All hell breaks loose.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Look out.
So we'll see. I might try and catch the burlesque show tonight, and I don't know. I might just go alone, you know, be available.
Mm-hmm. That's the way to do it.
No, but I think it'll be pretty cool, and it's going to be with Donna Hood, who was a guest here a couple days ago. And for those of you who want to go, you should go to what's it called? It's called teaseifyouplease.com. Mm. And that's the name of the show, so you can go there and check it out. And if you're in L.A., you probably want to go and see it. There's some hot chicks there. So that's it. Do you have any big plans for the weekend, Mia?
Yes, possibly. A lot of, you know, girls' nights going crazy.
I see. Okay. Why am I not surprised?
Yeah, it should be a fun... Yeah. Fun weekend.
So you guys, what, you go out to a different club every time or what?
I don't know. I mean, I was kind of dating somebody a little for like the past like couple months.
Right.
And now it's funny because some of my other girlfriends, like also in the group, are now like also single. So it's like perfect timing. So we're all like rare, like on the prowl.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Look out, Los Angeles. Actually,
sure
she was here. Oh, I have to give a shout out to her. I said I would. Hi, Ina. She's been on the show here before.
Yeah.
My friend Ina.
Ina, the beautiful friend. Yes. How's she doing?
She's doing great. Yeah, we both are. We're
good.
We went out last night.
So she's single too now?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's
look out, huh?
Double trouble.
Yeah.
I know. It's just funny because we're standing there like, you know, okay, so how do we do this? You know, this whole like single girl thing at the bar. How can we get a couple drinks? Literally, we say that like 2 seconds later, a couple of guys walk up.
Yeah, duh.
Hey, can we get you girls a drink? Let's go to the bar. Okay, that was easy.
Duh.
I'm like, oh, this isn't so bad.
That's how it works, Via. You never have to spend a dime when you go out alone. Yeah, actually, if you go out with a guy, you don't spend money either, so it always works out best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
It's fun stuff.
You can thank your jeans for that, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I know. I was wearing really great jeans last night.
Not those
jeans. No. Oh, you meant, I'm just kidding.
I know.
I thought that was funny. It's Friday. It's funny Friday.
I saw it coming when I said.
Yeah, well, actually, I had great jeans on. They made my ass look amazing.
Really? Well, that's cool. So you go to bars too, right? You go to bars? And
Yeah. That's where we were last night. Because we go there like quite a bit. It kind of seemed like to be like a usual like Thursday night occurrence, you know?
Right.
So we're like, why don't we just, you know,
is that a lot
to,
of single girls there
what
too?
We know. So
yeah.
Actually, there's a lot of guys
there.
So it's like, you
that's
know, it's kind of nice.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool because it's
nice
like
for you, yeah.
You know, it's more like chill, you know. Yeah, it's called Warwick, but like the vibe is like really, really cool, because it's not like, you know, like club dress and heels. I mean, some girls show up in that and then they just kind of look around and be like, oh, I feel really ridiculous right now because that's not this kind of place. And, you know, they just look a little, you know, overdone. But yeah, but that's why I like it. It's very, you know, it's very chill, but still very upscale.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's like my.
So you are God in style.
My little spot there. Yeah. Warwick. Yeah, it's in Hollywood. I like it.
Any themed parties this weekend? Any boats? Any adventures like that?
It's a little cold for boats, I feel like. You know? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I might. I might. Tonight, I mean, not the boats. I'm about to say a separate thing. Okay. I was going to say I might go on boats. I know I kind of paused there. It was a little awkward. I got to see how ballsy I'm feeling, but I might go to. I might go to a onesie party.
Oh yeah! Wow.
Yes, I've got a great one. Literally head to toe, because it's got a hood and it's a full effect onesie.
Really?
It's not just the PJs. It's a full out leopard hood with the ears and a tail and little paws. It's so adorable. But I mean, I don't know, you know, how sexy I'm going to be looking in that. I don't know.
Yeah.
How I'm supposed to find a man in a onesie. hey there, how you doing?
And how are the men supposed to dress?
Onesies.
In onesies also?
Yeah.
All right, so there you go, you know.
So we'll see. We'll see.
You'll all be in the same boat. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. The shit that people do sometimes, they don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
mm-hmm.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
So have you made plans for the holidays yet? I mean, are you going back home?
I'm going to go home. Yeah. For sure.
That'll be nice.
Yeah.
For both Christmas and New Year's?
I'm not sure what's going on for New Year's yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always end up going out of town. You know, I've never been in LA for New Year's.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I usually go out of the country, actually. Except for last year, I went to Miami, which was beyond amazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So,
well,
I
usually
don't know.
There's nothing big happening here, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know, because I feel like everybody, you know.
Yeah,
everybody
we watch
travels.
What's going on in New York. That's what we do here.
Yeah.
We don't have a dropping ball here like they do there.
I know.
So
that's
a central
right.
place to gather, you know. We don't have that.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of things. Being the second largest city in the country, I think there's a lot of things we should have that we don't.
What? A dropping ball?
A dropping ball, a football team, you know, things like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, football team for sure. Yeah, I just don't understand that really.
Yeah. Nicer drivers, I guess. Whatever.
Nicer drivers. Well, I mean, if you're trying to compare us to New York, I mean, New York does have very nice drivers.
That's true. The drivers are worse there.
The drivers are all taxis.
Yeah.
Nobody really has a car in New York.
Yeah, I know.
I feel like.
That's true. Most people don't.
Yeah.
But it's crazy to drive there. It really is, you know. I don't know why downtown you'd even drive, you know, just take a cab or the train or something or walk.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, walking there is nothing.
Yeah. It's freezing.
Here we don't walk, so we get spoiled, you know.
Yeah,
everything
I do.
Everything is by car.
I walk quite a bit.
Yeah?
Yeah, because, you know, where I live,
what,
I'm pretty, central to everything. No,
true.
I'll walk to get, you know, Chipotle or, you know, because I live right by a Whole Foods, so I'll sometimes just walk there to get food.
Oh, I see.
And
that's what you mean.
I walk to the parlor, which is, that's kind of a bit of a far-ish walk. Yeah. I mean, it's not far, but people, it's like, will be like, wait, you walked here? Oh, where do you live? And I tell them, be like, whoa, that's a little bit of a walk. But I walk to like the Laugh Factory and the Comedy Store. And,
oh, nice.
You
okay, so you live in a good area where a lot is happening. You don't have to drive anywhere.
Yeah, yeah, I do. I try to walk as much as I can.
Yeah,
so,
that's
and
cool.
And it's nice. It feels good to just get out and walk, you know.
Yeah.
And now that I got my new awesome Beats, you know, I can rock out in the process.
Do you listen to them in the car, too?
No.
Don't do it. It's crazy.
No, I feel like they'd be really awkward and dangerous. Like, I feel like
it is
I need
dangerous.
To, hear my surroundings. Even though I have, you know, songs playing in my car,
right.
like still that's
not
different.
The same,
I still
yeah.
can like
you can you hear know. Like sirens and shit like that because you need to be able to hear the emergency cars and stuff.
Yeah. You know? Oh yeah. Yeah. That too.
Yeah.
That too.
So you want to be careful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to be able to.
Yeah.
Use
your, no. Yeah. I couldn't use headphones in the car.
Yeah. Don't do it.
That's why even like people use it like to talk on the phone too.
Right.
But it's like at least leave one out so you can just
right. Then it's an
hear
earphone.
What's going on.
It's not, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a headphone per se.
Yeah, that's true. I know, because I mean, you hear nothing. Like,
yeah.
those things are so good. Like,
yeah,
it's
noise isolating. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can just kind of drift off in your little zone.
That's cool. Well,
yeah.
Congratulations on your Beats.
Thank you.
I have the Beats Pill. Do you know what that is? Have you seen that? The radio? They have like a wireless.
Oh, the little speakers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
And they look like a pill. And so they call it the pill. But it plays pretty well. It's
funny.
Like, yeah, so you can use it with your iPhone with the Bluetooth, and it just plays, and you can take it anywhere.
Yeah.
It was cool.
That's
when
cool.
I went on a trip, I even listened to it in the car, you know, because it's wireless.
Nice.
And, yeah, you, rechargeable and stuff. So
yeah.
Yeah,
I love music. I love sound. I'm such a big, like, sound person. Like,
yeah.
In my apartment, it's funny because it's like, I like this tiny little TV that I never really use. I don't really ever, like, watch, you know, much on my TV. I'm usually like elsewhere, like watching something on my iPad or like whatever.
Right.
And it's just funny because I've got like this Boston Acoustics sound bar with the subwoofer, like it's like this crazy like sound system and like this little TV because I use it more for music,
right.
you know, to play throughout my apartment. And then my bedroom, I have a Bose system.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Wow.
So I'm like.
So you said.
And I've got my Beats headphones. So, yeah, I'm all about the good sound.
Sounds good.
What
do you listen to as far as music? Do you have like, do you listen to stations or do you just put songs on iTunes?
I'm a huge fan of Pandora.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is it good?
Oh, my gosh. It's great because you just type
it.
In like a genre.
Right.
And it will just pull up, you know, all the. You
different
know, all
artists
the
and
songs and you know what's popular in that genre.
Oh wow!
Or a specific like band name. You've never tried Pandora?
I never tried Pandora. No,
oh my
it's
gosh.
Funny because people
will
talk
blow
about
your
it,
mind. But... It's absolutely amazing and it's free. I mean, you get some commercials, but I
yeah.
I kind of stole somebody else's password that like pays for it like a long time ago. I didn't steal it. He was like, oh well, I paid for it, so I don't get commercials. Here, just take my password. You know, and it was just a long time ago, and I just kind of like left it on there and just never changed it. So I'm like, all right, cool.
I see.
Well,
I listen to Spotify,
cool.
you know, because Spotify, you can actually look for specific songs. From what
mm-hmm.
I understand on Pandora, you can't find a specific song, right? Like you said, you go by genre or something, whatever
yeah,
it presents
or like the
to
band
you.
Name or the song. And it'll usually
yeah.
start off playing that.
Right.
As like the first one, and then, you know, the later ones will just kind of like... you know, take on their,
okay.
you know, their own effect.
So they create like the playlist for you kind of thing,
basically,
right?
Basically, yeah.
They
yeah,
decide,
if I want like alternative rock, like you
right.
just type in that and it'll bring up all the best, you know, alternative
oh, okay,
rock
cool.
songs and, you know, all different, you know, it's not just like, you know, of course they play mostly like super current stuff, but they'll play other stuff and
yeah.
older stuff too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a great way
I'll
to like
it.
Find,
like
you know,
new music
too
right.
is stuff you wouldn't, normally, you know, hear or, you know, care about. And then all of a
right.
sudden you're like, whoa, I love this song. And you know, there's like a little thumbs up button or
uh-huh.
a thumbs down button that
uh-huh.
you can click.
Yeah.
So if like, if you like it, then it remembered that you like it and it'll play it, you know,
yeah.
more often.
I see. Okay.
So,
all right.
Yeah.
So it works differently. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And on Spotify, it's nice because it does suggest things to you as well. And when you play an artist, there's related artists and things like that, you know. And you discover a lot of new music that way. So I love it. It's like the biggest jukebox in the world, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. So I also pay for it, but that's more like to, yeah, to not get commercials, but more so I can use it on my phone. Anyway, we have our guest calling in, and let's take it. I didn't even introduce. Good morning. You're on the air. Is this our guest this morning?
It is. It's Dr. Rawlings. Is this Sam?
Yes. Good morning. Charles Rawlings calling us from where?
North Carolina right now.
North Carolina,
oh,
wow.
Nice.
Is it cold there like the rest of the country right now?
Actually, we are in a warm spell. I'm looking out and it's 77, but we're supposed to have significant icing on Sunday.
Wow.
So it's coming.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, wow. You got better weather than we do. We're in
the
50s today.
it's chilly here. I mean, the sun's out, but it's still chilly.
Yeah, it's very chilly.
Yeah, I heard you guys were going to have some problems with the crops over in the valley.
Oh, really? I don't know.
We
don't have many crops in the valley here. It's mostly maybe.
No, I'm thinking up. Up in San Joaquin, like the
city. I see. Okay, because we live in a valley too, but it's all built, built up. There's no crops there.
So, oh, they're crops. You just don't see them.
Yeah, exactly. Marijuana crops, probably in people's houses. So, Charles, you wrote a book called "It Really Is That Complicated," and I like the book obviously because. You say in it something that makes a lot of sense. Mia, what he says is in a relationship, the one who holds the power is the person who cares the least.
Yeah, I'm looking at that right now on the
right.
cover of the book. I'm
and it like
this.
Makes so much sense to me, you know, because I remember when I was younger, I always used to care a lot. So I would be devastated.
And then you'd be the one getting hurt. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So tell us a little bit about that, Charles. How did you conclude that and how did you integrate that into a book?
Sure. Well, it has to do with power struggles, and power struggles occur in almost every relationship. In fact, I would say every relationship. And really, when you look at it, most people think that the person who cares the most has the most power. But that's not true in a relationship, as you have come to find out.
Right.
The person who cares the most is the one that's trying to convince, is trying to use their energy, is trying to somehow, I don't want to say manipulate, but convince the other person who cares less than they do that whatever the activity is, whatever the product is, whatever the emotion is, that it should be more important to them and that they should invest in it.
Right.
It's interesting when a lot of the women that I have spoken to, they say, yeah, it goes back to the advice that, you know, my grandmother gave me or my mother gave me or friends gave me. Marry a man who loves you a little bit more than you love him.
Yeah.
Because that way you always have the upper hand.
That's true, and it makes so much sense. You know, I mean, I've been in both kind of relationships, and I always felt that, you know, if you care less, then you definitely can decide. Yeah, and you can hold it over the other person's head. You know, it's like, you know, if you do this, I'm going to break up with you. If you do that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Absolutely, And then what happens is if you really want to see this pundit, this sort of saying in action, all of a sudden have the person who cares the most stop caring whatsoever. And you're going to see a complete shift in the power, and the person who prior to that didn't care much at all would suddenly be wondering, oh, what happened? Maybe
right.
I should start caring.
Exactly.
And it would be totally reversed.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense, mm-hmm. man. It makes sense. She agrees.
You agree, Mia?
I do. But sometimes it's just too late, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
And then... Whoops.
Yeah. So now you say something interesting here. You say that all women want what they cannot have. How did you conclude that? I mean, it sort of like makes sense, you know, but it's sort of a generalization. So explain that a little bit.
It is a bit of a generalization, and I'm sure that just as in most generalizations and most rules, you can find exceptions. But it's also a corollary to what we were just talking about. The one who holds the power is the one who cares the least.
Right.
If you look at it, women, and this goes for all ages, want what they can't have. They want these, quote, bad boys, these guys who are just not obtainable for them. They will tell you, especially as they get older, that they want a committed relationship, a solid guy, someone who will look after them. But that's not what they want, and that's not what they go after. I mean, if a guy wants to be committed, wants to show them that they like them, they'll send them flowers, give them presents, whatever, they automatically say, oh, well, he cares too much, so I have to care less.
Right.
And they go after these other guys, the guys who care less.
Right.
They don't text, they don't call them, they don't show emotion, they stand them up, they And the women just keep going after them and after them and after them. Right. And thus you have the statement, women want what they can't have.
Right. And, you know, I mean, that makes sense. It's so, like, counterintuitive. But I think it's true, you know. I mean, it's sort of like you're making it harder for yourself as the woman, but yet it seems like they love the challenge.
Absolutely. And ask Mia. I mean, Mia, what would you... You have two guys. You have a guy who is somewhat standoffish, is playing hard to get, or some guy who is fawning all over you.
See, honestly,
who are you going to go after?
Okay, so here's the deal. I'm just going to get, yeah. I will say I'm quite the different breed. I have been what they call, I mean, this is not me saying this. This is what guys call me, is the game changer. And I know that comes from a movie. I think that was from Crazy Stupid Love.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's basically like, you know, and also, oh, what's that other movie? Oh, like, he's just not that into you.
Yeah.
It's like there's like the rule and then the like exception to the rule, something like that. But I've been, you know, called those and unintentional. Like, I'm not even aware of what I'm doing. But I, you know, I tend to actually get those kind of guys that people are like, oh, no, he's such a player. He's never going to settle down. And I get them to settle down. But see, the thing how I feel right now is that I'm sick of being the game changer because I don't want to have to feel like I'm changing anybody. At this point in my life, I actually want that good guy that's going to, you know, call and text and whatever and be adorable and awesome like all the time and all over me or whatever.
Right.
Like I want that. Like I'm ready for that commitment and I do want to find somebody good because I am a little sick of being the game changer. Like at first, like if you think about it, it's a very flattering thing to be like, oh wow, I'm that girl that got that guy to settle down who will, you know, and it's happened quite a bit. Like I'm looking back on my past relationships and the majority have been that kind of guy that will never settle down, but will with me.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. But Charles is right because you're saying the same thing that he is and you're attracted to the guy that's like less into you, you know, the one that's less likely to settle down.
But see, the thing for me is that I am unaware of that, though, most of the time. And, like, towards the beginning, like, it happened so fast. And then all of a sudden I realize, oh my gosh, you're actually, like, you know, not like the guy like I thought you were. But then at that point, it's like, all right, well, we're already in a relationship. Let's just, you know, keep going with it and see how it plays out.
Right.
You know? And, of course, you know, most of the time it doesn't end up completely working out, and it's, you know, it's always fun while it lasted, but
and see, my statement is you want what you can't have.
Right.
You're like a game changer, but you want someone who's committed and you don't have that.
Right. Yeah. I know. I mean, but again, it's very flattering. It's nice to know that I can, you know, get the, you know, the impossible guys without even being aware that they're the impossible guys. But that's not what I want now.
Right. So you want what you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's true. So what do you recommend? I mean, should people really change their behavior, change their opinions? How does this work? I mean, because it does get pretty complicated, I think. And
people don't change, though,
right?
In my opinion.
Yeah. Unless they want to.
I agree.
Right.
I don't think people can change. I think what you have to do is you have to know yourself, and you have to have essentially no fear. And I'm not saying just be an asshole. I'm just saying you've got to know yourself and know what you can channel and what you can't.
Right.
And just be honest with people and be honest in your relationships and deal with other people the way you would want to have yourself dealt with, basically.
Right. Right.
But I'm like Mia. I don't think a person fundamentally is going to change. They can put icing on the top or, you know, hack out some layers, but they're fundamentally not going to change. And people know that.
Right. That's true, yeah.
Yeah, that's one thing that my mom always, like, instilled in my head since I was young. It's like, people do not change. There's one thing I could teach you for dating advice. It's like, people don't change. So I've always grown up knowing that.
But, you know, I think people change behavior. They can change behavior, but they have to want to do it. You
right.
know?
It has to be on
Yeah, you definitely. I don't know that it's people don't change. I think that you can't change people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't get them to see your point of view unless they want to, you know. And, so Charles, how did this book come about? How did you decide to write a book like this?
Well, what happened was, after my divorce, I started going out and in the dating arena, so to speak, and I started picking up anecdotes and experiences, and we're talking to my friends, especially my female friends,
right.
And we're telling them all these experiences and all of these interesting sort of anecdotes and then the generalizations I was making from them. And they were all like, yeah, this is absolutely correct. This is exactly what's going on.
Right.
So instead of telling us, why don't you tell the world and go write a book?
Yeah,
and
that's true.
They said, you're an evolved male. You're a mature male. It's a totally different perspective on what you guys were talking about earlier. He's just not that into you because it's a different age, different experience, different evolution. And so that's how it came about. I sat down actually with a group of really good friends one afternoon, and in about 2 hours, hour or two, we had the chapters
Wow.
pretty much named and thought about.
Wow. Had you written before this? I mean, have you written books before?
I had one book out before. I'm an underwater photographer as well, and so it's
Oh,
a
wow.
totally different genre.
Yeah.
It's a big coffee table book.
Wow, but, amazing.
Yeah, it's called Living Shells. It's pretty interesting.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, I've always written. I've published innumerable scientific papers and opinion papers. But this would be the first foray into sort of a popular relationship genre.
Right. Now, scientific papers and everything, what is your background? Are you a scientist too?
Oh, I'm a neurosurgeon as well as a medical malpractice attorney.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
So you've done everything, a doctor, a lawyer, a writer. Wow. Your mom must have been very happy. Wow, that's cool. So you still work as a neurosurgeon down there?
I do. I still see patients, but my main practice is medical malpractice law.
Oh, I see.
I'm for the plaintiffs, and I try and get compensation for injured patients.
Wow, that's interesting. How long have you been doing that now?
Let me think. It's going on 12, 13 years, yes.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So you put this book together. Now, did you self-publish it, or did you find a publisher for it? How did it work?
I found a publisher. The publisher is Arthur House.
Uh-huh.
It's a division of Penguin.
Okay. Sounds good, man. I mean, it's like I know it's very hard to get a book even noticed by publishers and stuff. So this is good that you were able to do this. So you went to medical school and to law school, right?
I did, yeah.
Wow, that's many years in school.
Yeah, that's a lot of school.
Yeah, I combined undergrad and med school and went through that in 6 years, and then did my neurosurgery residency and practiced neurosurgery, and then decided I'd always liked the law, so I decided to go back to law school when I was 41,
uh-huh.
and continued to practice neurosurgery while I was in law school. And it was a true intellectual challenge. It was completely different than, you know, going to school in the early when you're in your early 20s. You're there
yeah.
because you want to learn, and it's
exactly.
intellectually challenging, and it opens your mind.
Right, and you do a lot better too. I know. I went back to school kind of late in my late 20s,
mm-hmm.
and I also approached it like a business, you know, and because I was set on getting like. Graduating with honors and everything, so I could go on for a master's program. So I agree with you. I think going to college at a later age is a lot more effective.
I agree completely, absolutely. And I would tell any adult that comes to me, absolutely, go back to school, take some classes, you know, just do something that will open your mind up.
Right. Well, Charles Rawlings, the book is – you're not related to J.K., right?
No.
Okay.
No, it's
I don't think she has
spelling.
An S at the end. Close. I think it's just J.K. Rowling.
I know. Rawlings. If you can get just a fraction of her readers, you'll do very well, huh?
I'll take a fraction of a reading. Yeah. Sure.
So the book is—it really is that complicated. Where can people find it, Charles?
They can find it on Amazon. They can go to Barnes and Noble. They can go to my website. It's www.charlesrawlings.com. okay. or www. It really is that complicated book.com. They can order it from them. They can order it from the publisher, Author House. It's just Google it. It's easy to find, believe me.
Sounds good. Well, it's a fascinating book. I didn't get a chance to finish it, but I read some chapters, and it's, you know, it, I mean, it makes you think a little bit, you know, and examine things a little differently from a different perspective, and you tell it like it is, you know, and I think that's what makes the book unique.
That's cool. Well, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited
that.
To read it.
Of course.
Yeah, good me, timing for me. Here we go.
There you go. Yeah, you need to read up on this.
Uh-huh.
All right, Charles. Well, thank you so much for calling. You're a great guest, and good luck with the book, and all the best to you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate being on the show.
Okay. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow. But, you know, it's so true. I mean, this thing... You know, grab me right away. You know, in a relationship, the one who holds the power is the person who cares the least.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It's not only relationships when you think about it. It's a negotiation as well, you know. Think about
right.
it. You know, when you go into a place and you negotiate in something, and one negotiating technique is just to get up and walk out, you know, and to show that you don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come chasing after
yep.
you and
yep.
stuff, you know.
Yeah, and that's so, too late.
Yeah. So that's maybe what you should do, you know, it's pretend you don't care, but inside. But, I mean, that's like sort of like playing a game. But
yeah, exactly. But then it backfires, too, like looking at it the other way around. If you, you know what I mean? If somebody's going to call your bluff, I mean that's how I'm like. If you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to like break up with her and then show her I don't care and then things will be better. No, I'm like, okay. All right, well, I guess we're done. And like, no, wait, no, I didn't really mean that. I didn't really mean to break up with you. I'm like, too late. Like, that's how I am. I am so cut and dry. Like, You cannot like play games with me. You cannot try to teach me lessons.
Uh-huh.
I am like, I don't, you know, I mean, I know that that's how, you know, society is today. And that's how relationships are built on, you know, on these games. And people think that I'm like, you know, kind of like, you know, out of my mind for not like trying to, quote unquote, work on things. But it's like, yeah, but I don't want to have to work on it. You know what I mean? And that's the thing is I explain that in the beginning just so people know, no, like I mean it. I don't play the game. Like I am like, it is what it is. Like what you see is what you get. I don't do the whole like back and forth cat and mouse thing.
Yeah.
Like either you like me and you're with me or you don't. I'm like, I'm telling you right now, if you try to pull any like smooth moves, it's going to backfire.
Right.
And you know, and that's what happened. I didn't think you really meant it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
So
and it's like I really am different from
right.
You know,
so in your relationships, do you find that find yourself in different positions? Like sometimes you care more, and sometimes you care less than the other person.
Oh yeah, and I mean, and I have you know quite a bit of relationship experience. I feel like just because I started dating, you know, very seriously at you know kind of a young age. Like I was like, you know, probably like 14 with my first like really serious boyfriend of like 2 years or something crazy, like, you know, kind of off and on. And then, you know, then I would in between, I would like, you know, date somebody else and this and that. And one thing I've learned is, you know, I feel like there's like those three different, you know, like types of like scenarios with breakups. Either, you know, you're the person that just got broken up with. Right. And you are just devastated. Your heart is broken. You feel like, especially like your first love, like that was that was the worst for me, you know, when I got like cheated on, like I felt like there is no will to live anymore. I am nothing without him, you know, just completely brokenhearted. And then after that, you know, then I dated somebody and then I really broke his heart. And one thing that I learned is that, you know, because he was so upset, of course, and just crying and just an absolute mess. And I'm looking at him like, dude, like, get over it. Like, stop trying so hard. Like, we're broken up. You know, it's done. Like, get over it. Move on. And then it's like, oh, then it kind of teaches you to also have that kind of compassion when you've been through that before.
Right.
It's like, oh, wait a minute. I've been there, you know, and that's what I've learned now for like the future, you know, as I, you know, grew up and got older, is that, you know what I mean? Like the crying, the begging, the desperation, it doesn't do anything. Because if that
that's
other person's
true, huh?
really over it,
right?
It's
and
like
they made the decision
you just,
already.
Yeah,
huh?
It's like you feel like an idiot. You're just wasting your time
right.
when you could just be moving on and meeting somebody else that is more right for you.
Right. Yeah. And so, you're making garbage of yourself when you behave like that.
I think, for sure.
You start begging and stuff. You know,
for sure. And terrible. I see it all the time with my friends. Like, oh, no, I texted him. It's like, oh, why would you do that? No. Like, that's not, you know, why would you say that? That's not going to bring him back. You know, and why would you even want to be with somebody that isn't, you know, 100% stoked on you anyways?
That's true.
You know, or then there's like the third side of it where it's just the person doesn't really want to break up. They just kind of want to scare you a little bit or play a game. And then, you know, it backfires because, you know, then there's a breakup because it's like, okay, you know, and it's, I cannot tell you, like, it's happened to me probably about like 4 times now in like significant relationships. And it's really sad because even one of them, it was like 10 months later and he came back and like admitted that, like, I never meant to break up with you. Mm-hmm. My friend just said, you know, that they do it all the time and that things are better, you know, once you get back together. So I took his advice. And then the next day, you know, before I know it, like, I heard that you've, you know, moved on and you were dating somebody else. Oh, and he's like, I just didn't know what to do because that wasn't my plan. And I was, you know, and it took him like 10 months to finally admit that, but he did. And right. It was like, wow. And it, you know, and it's happened, you know, a few more times. So it's like, you know, I warned them from the beginning, like, don't try to, you know, play that game with me because it doesn't work. Like, once it's done, once I'm gone, I'm gone.
Right.
And there, you know, there's no coming back from that.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So.
And then it's like, okay, well, you know, it's like whenever you try to prove a point, it comes back to bite you in the ass.
Really?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, I have my own experiences with that. And, you know, I've also seen a lot of experiences with that, like people that have, you know, gone through that sort of thing. Be like, oh, well, I'll show them by doing this. And then it's like, oops, I shouldn't have done that. Cause now it's like, come back to hit me like tenfold, you know?
Yeah. It's crazy when people do that. I don't get it, but you know?
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's sad, but like either way, if, you know, there must've been something that wasn't working in the first place to, you know what I mean, to make them do that. But it's like, you, again, you can't change somebody. So you can't change me. You can't scare me into, you know, molding me into be, you know, what you want me to be.
Right.
Like, I just don't work that way.
Right.
It's like either we're together and it's great or we're not.
Yeah. Like, and it's true because, you know, I also think most relationships, it's not like even, you know, it's not 50-50. There's always, like he said, there's always somebody that cares more than the other.
Right.
And more into the relationship than the other. And, yeah, and, you know, so you have to sort of like understand that and recognize it, you know, and live with that. And, yeah, because, you know, things are not equal. And you know what? It's not only with romantic relationships. It's also with friends and, you know, and colleagues and things like that, you know.
Right, I mean, yeah, any like, kind of relationship.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, if you negotiate, always be prepared to get up and leave the table.
Yeah.
Pretty much, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, or, like, talk to me. Like, communicate. Like, you know what I mean? Don't try to, like, teach me a lesson. It's like, if there's something, you know, going on or something that needs to be, quote, unquote, worked on, you know, or discussed, it's like, you know. Then, like, let's, you know, let's talk about it. Let's be real.
Right.
For, like, a second, you know? And it's, like, don't, you know, don't look at me for being the heartless one, for not, like, you know, sticking it out. But it's, like, you know, I feel like people just want to have their cake and eat it, too.
That's true.
But it's, like, I'm sorry. You can't do that with me.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I, monogamy, you know, I deserve or bust, right? To, you know, I deserve to have what, you know, what I feel like I deserve, you know, what I want out of a man and what I want out of life. So, you know, there's no reason in, like, you know, wasting time and
exactly and settling for something else.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. Settling.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wanted to give a shout out to some listeners of us in Tokyo.
Oh.
And I was contacted by Frank Rivas, who is an American from LA who teaches English in Tokyo. And apparently he and his friends discovered our show and they listen.
That's so cool.
And they think we're very cool. So they, so I posted on Facebook, they took a picture of themselves in a bar and they wrote on a napkin, you know, greetings or hello to Sam Hassan, you know, at LA Talk Radio.
That's really
took
funny.
A picture, and I thought, wow, this is really special. You know, I mean, they took out the time and all that, and they're fans, you know, so I'm flattered, and I'm grateful to Frank and all the other students. You know, I can't remember the names because there's some Japanese names that are hard to remember.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm dying to go to Japan, man. I mean, they got beautiful women there.
I want to go to Japan so bad. I feel like it would just be so much fun. I mean, everybody that's gone there is like, it's amazing.
Oh, really?
And I'm sure there's, you know, just Hello Kitty everywhere.
Is that where it's from? Is it from Japan?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I should have known.
Yeah, it's definitely, yeah. So.
Wow. They're good in creating characters, huh?
Yeah, they really are.
I mean, we have Barbie and a couple of Star Wars dolls, but they come up with all these things like Pokemon and you know, all these different characters in their cartoons and their comics and stuff. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. That's cool.
Sorry.
Stuff.
Yeah. What else? Oh. I guess they found out that smoking pot can cause man boobs. And that kind of scares me.
What? Man boobs?
Man boobs. I mean, they're saying that it's actually possible.
They're saying
that man boobs result from hormone imbalance between estrogen and testosterone. And animals have shown marijuana ingredients can affect testosterone. So, they're saying the link between that and marijuana use appears plausible. But you know what? They're saying that usually it's like younger age, like between 25 and 45. They're saying that it affects about 33 to 41% of men between 25 and 45. Man boobs. I mean, not necessarily because of pot or anything, but 33 to 40% get man boobs? Wow.
Man boobs.
It's even more common during puberty, affecting 60%.
Oh my.
14-year-olds.
Wow.
Wow.
Man boobs.
Yeah. Well, apparently it affects older men too.
Do they have like bras for that or something? Like,
oh God.
Man bras?
Yeah. It's so terrible, man. Can you imagine?
Man.
But I mean, those percentages are really high. I don't believe that. You know, I mean, they're saying that affects 55% of men age 50 and older. I don't know. I don't see a lot of man boobs, but maybe they're out there.
Hmm.
I mean, 55% is like every other man, age 50 and older.
Yeah.
God, I'm glad to be in the other 50%,
like,
man.
You know, layering and stuff, you know, you probably can't always tell, you know, based by, like, you know, the clothes that they wear and whatnot, but.
Yeah, I know. But smoking pot, man, I don't know. I've smoked it all these years. I don't have man boobs, so thank goodness for that. I would have been devastated. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I think, I mean, then what happens? Like, what do you do about that? Like, get like a breast reduction? I mean,
I don't know, but there
are guys man boobs. I'm sure, like, obviously there's, you know, procedures you can have, but.
Yeah. Excuse me. Wow. Sorry.
You're right there.
Yeah, let me get some water.
Take a swig of water.
I haven't
there.
Been drinking coffee, so my throat is not as soothed as it used to be.
Mm.
But so I guess they get like plastic surgery and things like that. You know, so,
yeah, like a breast reduction.
Yeah,
I guess.
God, oh man, that's got to be tough. You know, any you know deformity is pretty. You know, they're showing some pictures here on CNN of face transplants. Have you ever seen those?
What?
Yeah. I mean, it's like the before picture, it just shows you like eyes and sort of like an opening for the mouth, but there's no like real face there, you know? So they take a face from someone else and they implant it. And usually it kind of looks still grotesque, you know? But it looks better than no face at all.
Yeah. Wow.
I know.
Oh, my gosh. There's photos of that?
Yeah, there's photos of that. The face transplants before and after.
Oh, my God.
I know, man. I mean, the stuff that people go through, you know, and it's so scary. You think every year that goes by, I'm getting older. What is going to happen to me next, you know? And people have all kinds of stuff happening to them.
I know. But I mean, with the way technology is today, I mean, there's so many things that can fix that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's amazing what, you know, what doctors can do these days. It blows my mind.
Yeah. And, you know, but we live longer and there's more people, less deaths. And we're getting world population explosion. You know, that's what happens because people are not dying. But at the same time, you know, you're not going to let somebody die from something if you can help it, you know, and help them out and stuff. So,
So
that's that. They're also talking about the Porsche that Paul Walker was driving in. And apparently it was like a really sporty car. You know, it's not just any street Porsche. Uh-huh. It had like 650 horsepower.
Oh, my God.
That's like double what a normal car has, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know why people drive that, but I guess to get some attention. But in this case, it ended up tragically. And they're saying he was that the car only blew up about a minute after they crashed, so they could have still been alive before the explosion, I think. So, wow, that's scary. I mean, can you imagine being trapped in a car?
I mean, the car just looks so, like, mangled up. I mean, I would hope that they didn't suffer, you know, and that it was just a kill on impact. But now Nikki's saying that, you know, because, you know, over at TMZ, you know, things are going haywire with this, you know, story, obviously. And now she said there's some angle of, you know, a video where it looks like, you know, Paul Walker is like flailing his arms, like it looks like he's trying to get out.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, who knows? I'm sure there's so many different, you know, things that people are coming up with and, you know, conspiracies and whatnot. But, it's, you know, she says every day there's something new with the story. But it's just so, it's so tragic. It's such a freak accident, especially given, you know, like that was what he did for a living, you know, was crazy, you know, car chases and stuff. Like, and then to, you know, it's just like, oh, my God.
Right. Yeah.
I couldn't even imagine. I know they say like God has a sense of humor, but like that is just not funny. It's mean, like, wow.
It's not funny. Ugh. It's not funny at all. But you know, I mean, having hit a pole driving pretty fast, I would think they die on impact. Although, you know, I mean, if they did have seatbelts on and the airbags inflated, then they, you know, they may have stayed alive or something, you know. Pretty injured but alive. But yeah, I mean, I think after there's an explosion in the car, you can't really tell what happened and they try to piece it together.
I know.
You know, but,
I'm just grasping at straws at this point. So it's like, could be anything.
Yeah. I know. And you know, I mean, sometimes you just go crazy with the cars and stuff. Some young guys, you know, I mean, they really drive like crazy.
Yeah.
You know,
I know it's just like, super sad. But on other celebrity news, Amanda Bynes is out of rehab, and they say she's doing quite well, and she's living with her parents and you know, recovering.
Awesome.
Well, so
good. Well, we're glad to have Amanda back.
Well, now because you know she wants nothing to do with the acting business. She's like done with that whole industry, and she wants to do fashion now. She wants to like design.
Oh, so
have
she's
a
done
fashion
acting
line.
Now?
Yes.
Really?
Well, she said that before. I remember she's like, I'm done. I'm quitting the business. I'm no longer acting. And then she like came out with another movie. I was like, okay. Clearly or not, but I think this time she really means it. So.
All right. Well, okay. Well, that's it. And also, lastly, I guess Nelson Mandela has died.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. That's right.
The former leader of South Africa. Yeah. And he's a big leader and he's got a legacy behind him. And it's very interesting to read up on him. So, you know, and I think it was time for him to go, you know, so it's not like everybody's like crying and everything.
Right,
because
right.
He lived
a
full life. A
full, long, happy life.
Right,
so.
Right.
That's good. May he rest in peace.
Yes, absolutely. All right, Mia, that's it for today.
All righty.
Another week is up. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Oh, that's right. It is. Yes. It is. It's Friday. I almost forgot for 2 seconds. Like, woo, here we go.
Yes. And you guys don't forget to tune in Monday starting at 9 o'clock for my music show. And I'm excited about
it.
Oh,
and I still feel like I have to say I'm like good friends with all my exes. I know I just did like a total like recap of like all my past relationships, but okay. I'm like cool with everyone. I just thought about that. I was like, oh wait, I should probably shout that out.
Okay.
So
now that we know that, we can go
now
home.
Now that we yes, it's oh, very right. important side note. Okay, here we go. Okay. Have a good weekend.
Bye.
Been listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.